2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll jump right into the preaching because of the schedule that we keep in a conference like this. I was privileged to be here last year. I think I taught 4 or 5 workshops, and now it's my privilege to preach in these general sessions. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and very familiar passage here, verses 1 through 4. Thou therefore, my son, Paul is writing to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Father, I pray that you'll bless now the reading of your word, and God, the message you've laid upon my heart, and these dear, sweet servants of the Lord. God, oh, how New England needs the folks that are seated in these pews today to go back home with a renewed fervor, Lord, with a encouraged heart. And Lord, I pray that to all that is said and done in this message, the message in the afternoon, the workshops yet to have, and even the fellowship, that we all may have a camaraderie, and knowing that we are called, and knowing that in that calling there is the power of Christ behind us to build your church. I pray, O God, that you'll bless this hour in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to speak to you on the subject, the leadership quality of faithfulness. The leadership quality of faithfulness. I'll begin this morning with a true story from history about a king named Henry of the country of Bavaria. King Henry, history books say, became weary of court life and the rigors of leadership. May I just stop and parenthesize, as every pastor in this room and every full-time Christian servant would be able to likewise say, the rigors of leadership sometimes seem to be overwhelming. It just seems like I need to escape to get out from under the pressure that maybe the ministry brings. And so he became weary of court life and leadership. And so the story goes that he entered into a monastery and he presented himself to the head monk, who instructed him in the very strict rules of the order. The friar insisted that implicit obedience would be the very first requisite of sainthood. So the monarch promised to follow the friar's will in every detail. And then the history books go on to say that the friar made this statement then to that king, that tired king, that king that was overwhelmed by leadership and the responsibility of people and having to provide for people, so much like those of us in ministry may have that same feeling come upon us. He made the statement, quote, then go back to your throne and do your duty in the station where God has assigned you. And history books say that he did that, and he took up his scepter until he died. And at the end of his life, people said of him, King Henry learned to govern by learning to obey. And may I submit to you and propose to you the statement that I believe the command that he was obeying was the commitment to go back to his place and just be faithful. I don't know what you are facing this morning. I don't know what burdens you carry today. And I'm so thankful to have met so many of you. You've driven 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 or 6 hours maybe from around New England to come to this place today. And I don't know if you're maybe on your last leg of the journey seemingly. And it seems that ministry is just so overwhelming. And where is God? And maybe you look at COVID and things that happened even 4 years ago that are still becoming a problem or still a problem in your ministry. Folks that have left your church and have not yet returned, and maybe the discouragement of people, maybe the discouragement even in your own heart. Can I just say to you, please go back to your throne and do your duty in the station where God has assigned you. A commitment to faithfulness. Now, I think that everybody in this room would agree with me that in America, in our culture, we have a problem with faithfulness. We have a problem with faithfulness to our marriage vows. There are people that are seated in your churches, obviously, that maybe no longer feel as if they can stay married one to another. As a pastor for so many years, it seemed to be an epidemic, even in the last years of my pastorate, of people that have been married 20 and 25 years, and maybe now the empty nest syndrome comes upon them. The kids are now out of the nest, and they look at each other and they say, "Who are you? I don't even know you. We were so busy rearing the kids and building our careers." And somewhere along the line, they stopped being faithful to their marriage vows, and they're getting divorced in larger numbers, and that's unfortunate. But my friends, look, when you stood at an altar and you said, "I will do till death do us part," be faithful to those marriage vows. And may I say to the preachers here, it's an epidemic likewise of pastors that are disqualifying themselves because they're not remaining faithful to their marriage vows. And so there's a problem that we have of consistency and not being faithful even in these areas of marriage. We're not being faithful to church as we once did. We're not being faithful maybe even to the very tenets of our Christianity. I mentioned COVID just a moment ago. Every pastor in this room would be able to stand and give some testimony as to people that used to sit in your pew in 2019. They're not there now. They use COVID as an excuse. Satan allowed COVID to come in. They got a little bit unfaithful in coming to church. Can anybody say amen right here? You can understand where we are in our culture. It seemingly has gotten a little bit easy, and we want to take the easy route out. And instead of obeying the command to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, it's a lot easier to sit with a cup of coffee and a donut on their couch and watch church online. Now, there may be a place for watching that for shut-ins, my friends, but that cannot overcompensate for what Satan will do on a weekly basis, attacking their Christianity if they are not in faithful attendance to the house of God, hearing the preaching of the Word of God and the fellowship of God's people and the singing that we just enjoyed there just a moment ago. Be faithful to the house of God. Attend. And we're losing that. We're losing faithfulness to church, losing faithfulness to the things that we know are right in our lives. We're not faithful and consistent in our parenting. Sometimes we're, as pastors and those called into full-time ministry, we're not faithful to our calling. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse number 1, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." So what does this say about our culture? What does this say about who we are as a people? What does this say even about those of us who are called into ministry? May I just stop and say, this was not a new problem. This is a very old problem of being unfaithful to what we should be faithful to. It was David that said, or Solomon that says in Proverbs 20 in verse number 6, "A faithful man who can find?" Question mark. Have you ever needed a job done in your church and you couldn't find anybody who would volunteer? You couldn't find anybody who would say, "Pastor, I'll make some adjustments there. Something that needs to be done, something that cannot go undone. Who can find a faithful man?" It was David that said in Psalm 12 in verse number 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." But before we just get negative about it, can I give you the opposite side of the coin? Can I give you some positives? Yes, we can pine away all day about the unfaithfulness of man. Hey, how about the faithfulness of our God? Aren't you glad to know that you have a God that shows up every time He's supposed to? Aren't you glad there's a sun that rises in the east and sets in the west every single day? Except a few days ago when we couldn't see it for about 5 minutes, right? But aren't you glad that there was a God creator, a creator God that even is orderly enough and detailed enough and sovereign enough and the power of His creation that can allow that sun to light the day and the moon to light the night? Aren't you glad that there's a faithfulness to our God? In Deuteronomy 7 in verse number 9, it talks about the faithful God who keepeth covenant and mercy. Aren't you glad the covenant of the rainbow that He gave to Noah, that God would never flood the earth again? I'm so tired that our culture has taken that rainbow and has changed its meaning. The bow was to mean that there was a covenant that God was going to keep His word. It's because He's a faithful God. How about Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23? "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning." Talk to me, church. Great is Thy... I think that's a song that we sing in our hymnal. Aren't you glad that you have a God who is faithful? Aren't you glad that in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says very simply, God is faithful. Paul says it again in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted. I don't know what you're facing, friends. I don't know what temptation is overwhelming you. I don't know what your emotions have done to you. I don't know if you're ready to leave the ministry, but may I say to you, God is faithful. You're not serving yourself. You're not serving that church. You are serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You be faithful to Him because He has been so very faithful to us. In fact, it's one of the very names of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 19 and verse number 11, in amidst all of the other names of Alpha and Omega and the beginning and the end and the first and the last and all of those others, at the end of Revelation, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is going to come riding on a white horse, and the Bible said, and He is called Faithful and True. Now, aren't you glad this morning that you have a God who is faithful to you? And so, if God is faithful to us, should we not be then faithful to Him? With all that He has given to us, should we not then give back very gladly and faithfully to Him? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about faithfulness. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 35, to Eli about Samuel, the statement was made, quote, I will raise me up a faithful priest. Can I just say to you, please, we understand Eli was not as faithful to God as he should have been. He let his boys go to pot and go to Belial and some things that he should have stopped that he didn't. And so because of Eli in some ways disqualifying himself, there's a little boy. And can I just talk to the young people that are here, please, the teenagers that are here and the college students that are here. He's raising up another generation. And he said, in Samuel, I will raise me up a faithful priest. Can I say to some of you young people, listen to me, you millennials, I don't want you to look back at maybe those in my generation that have been unfaithful. I want you to keep your eyes on a faithful God. Don't look at those and point the finger and say, well, because they did and because they fell and because they made these decisions. Watch, friends, you are not responsible for their decisions. You're responsible for yours. And we are responsible for our own faithfulness to the calling of God in our life. And do we need some more faithful high priests? Do we need some more faithful preachers? Do we need some more faithful missionaries? Absolutely. And I'm asking you today to make a decision that you'll go to the station to which God has called you and that you will remain faithful. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 14, and who is so faithful? Among all my servants is David. It was spoken in Nehemiah about a man named Hananiah. It says, for he was a faithful man. About Abraham, who foundest his heart faithful before thee. In Psalm 101, verse number 6, God makes the statement, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Proverbs talks about a faithful spirit, a faithful ambassador, a faithful witness, a faithful messenger, a faithful friend. It was said about Daniel that none could find occasion or fault, for he was a faithful man. Matthew 25, Jesus was telling about the end time events. And he said, there's going to be a day and a time. Look at me, church. A day and a time where we're going to come and we're going to stand before the Lord. And he said, I hope that we will be able to hear. Here's the phrase. Well done, thou good and faithful man, faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I'm going to give you awards because you built the biggest church. He said, I'm going to give awards because of your faithfulness. Can I say to you, hang in there, Pastor. Hang in there. Those of you serving in the New England and in these very difficult areas, and it's difficult all over the country, and it's difficult all over the world, but you have some unique things. I'm saying to you this morning that you've come to a conference, and we want to encourage you to go back to your place and just remain faithful to the Word of God and to your call. So we come to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'd like to give you 5 thoughts about the faithfulness of leadership, the quality of leadership as it relates to faithfulness. 5 areas of faithfulness. We find in our text, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and in verse number 1, the Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want to give you the first point this morning if you're taking notes. Number 1, we should be faithful to find our strength in the Lord. We should be faithful to find our strength in the Lord. Paul is talking to the young preacher. He is the aged veteran. He is the Dr. Townsley of this morning. Amen. The man that's been faithful for almost 50 years here at Central Baptist Church. And he's talking to the younger preachers. He's talking to the adopted sons, right? He's talking to the preacher boys of New England Baptist College. He's talking to some of you in the millennial generation, and you've answered the call to God in ministry. And maybe like Brother Zach Kinsman, you started a church, or you planted a church, or you've taken maybe a church somewhere, and it's just a small little village that needs a faithful pastor to be there. And maybe you're there for a while, and maybe a few months, or maybe a couple of years, and then it seems that discouragement comes upon you. Maybe it seems a little bit that it's not growing as quickly as you would want it to grow. It seems maybe that there's a little bit of difficulty. And can I just please remind you, listen to me, if there's no difficulty in your ministry, it means maybe you're going the wrong direction. Because if you're going this way and Satan's coming this way, you're going to have some adversity. Come on now. If you're trying to build a church to the kingdom and glory of God and win some souls, Satan is going to try to drag those same souls to hell. So there's going to be some adversity. And so I say to you that wherever you find yourself, I'm encouraging you, number one, this morning to be faithful, to not find strength in your own flesh, in your education, in, well, I've been doing this for a few years now, or your experience. No, Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong, be faithful to find your strength in the Lord. You're going to have hard times. You're going to have to persevere. We might say, hang on, brother, wait it out, buck up, put it behind you. Maybe in some ways even get over it, because the ministry is tough. The ministry deals with people. The ministry is a battlefield. It's a spiritual warfare. We're going to get to that in verse number 4. And so the very first thing that I'm saying this morning we should be faithful to is to find our strength in the Lord. I ask you a question, in whose strength do you pastor? In whose strength do you preach? Look, my friends, we've been doing this a long time. I got called to preach at 13. I'm 55. That means that's a long time. I've been preaching the Word of God. But I promise you right now, at this age of my life, and after 40 plus years of preaching, I put more time, I put more effort, I put more prayer. Why? I don't want to just preach an outline. I don't want to just preach something that sounds good. I don't want to just have alliterated points. There's nothing wrong with that. I want there to be the power of God on the preaching of His Word. Why? Because it's not my words that matter. It's His words that matter. I want to be faithful to find my strength in the Lord, that my power comes from the very Word of God. So I ask you again, in whose strength do you preach? I don't want you to ever get up and just think, well, I've been doing this a while and I can just kind of pull something out of the sword of the Lord. Hey, my friends, that may have been good for John Rice. He's the one that wrote it. Once you get your own sermon, come on now. Quit your plagiarizing. Quit using AI for your sermon prep. Come on now. Hello. Find your strength in the Lord. You say, well, that's hard. Hello, bingo, that's what the ministry is all about. Endure hardness. We're going to find that in just a minute. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not, preacher. Lean not, missionary, to thine own understanding. No. Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord. I asked you a question. How faithful are you to fall back on Him? How faithful are you to fall back on Him? How faithful are you to be dependent? How faithful are you to be humble? How faithful are we to say, God, this is your work, it's not mine. Look, we're not trying to build man's kingdom. We're trying to build God's kingdom. We're not trying to build a big church to your name or a big reputation or a big look what you have done. No, Paul said to Timothy, my son, be strong where? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We go secondly, quickly. There needs to be a faithfulness, secondly, to invest in others. Look at verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. I'm reading now from 2 Timothy 2, verse number 2. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So point number one, faithfulness to find our strength in the Lord. Secondly, faithful to invest in others. That's what the ministry is. It's investing in others. The ministry is about people. Preacher, the ministry is not about you. It's not about your position. It's not about your call. Now, it's a very special call, and it's a sacred office. Absolutely, it is. But it's not about you, because we are not to point people to us. We're to point people to Him. So it's got to be a faithfulness of now investing in others. And isn't that what Paul says to young Timothy? Look at it again, verse 2. Look, you young people, listen carefully what verse 2 says. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." You take what has been passed down from those that have known God, you let that same book be passed down. We don't need a new translation of our Bible. Now, I'm not here to run, but I'm sick and tired of those that are going in and actively changing the very words of God by which we say we stand, by which we say is the very foundation of everything that we do. Is not the church the pillar and the ground of the truth? Well, if so, we got to have a word that we know comes from God. And either we have an inspired Bible or we don't. Either we have a preserved Bible in our English language or we don't. And I'm saying we must be faithful to pass that same thing down. He said, you take the same, what I've given to you. And then he says, don't just keep it to yourself. You go find faithful men who you can pass it down to. Invest in them so that they can invest in others. Can I give you a thought here, friends? If we are not faithful to pass down to this next generation what has been passed down to us, do you understand in one generation we could lose Christianity? Do you understand that? Do you understand how important this is? To invest in others, to invest in your deacons, invest in your Sunday school teachers, and thank God that you're here today and you're learning and growing and that you're being encouraged so you can go back. Many of you brought your Sunday school teachers with you. Oh, how wise is that? Why? Because we must be faithful to continue to invest in others. Who was it that invested in you? Can I ask you that? Who was it that invested in you? Who was your pastor? Who was your youth pastor? Who was your father, maybe, or a grandfather, or some godly deacon, or some Sunday school teacher that invested in you and loved you? Hey, loved you when you were unlovable. Come on now, when you were a seventh grade boy and you were in that youth department and they put up with you anyway. Come on, say amen right there. He just can't. Aren't you glad he didn't give up when you got a burr under your saddle, when you had that little rebel streak in your heart and life? Aren't you glad someone loved you through that? Aren't you glad that they loved you and helped you and trained you and mentored you and prayed with you and preached to you? Why? There was a faithfulness to keep investing in others. Let me say it this way as I wrote it down. Someone faithfully invested in you. Will you faithfully invest in someone too? For that's what great leaders do. This is a leadership conference. Great leaders find somebody to pass down the faith to. And they're faithful to do so. Can I just say, it's time for some of you, maybe in this room, for all of us to make sure we are teachers when it's time to be teachers. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter number 5 right now and verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Can I say, there's some of you, maybe you're a layman in the church where you've come from today, and you've been saved for a long time. Can I say to you, is there a time that it's time for you to step up and begin teaching? Be faithful to the call that God maybe has placed in your life, the gifting that God has given to you to teach the Word of God, and for you to come to a conference like this and say, I want to hone my skills. I want to get better at this. Why? Because I want to invest in the next generation, because that is where I should be faithful to continue investing in others. For some of you, be faithful to the calling that God's placed in your life to teach. Be faithful to teach, or faithfulness to teach dictates a faithfulness to continue learning and teaching, learning and growing. Can I say to you, preachers, we all been doing this a while maybe, Can I encourage you? Don't ever feel like you've got it all under control and you've got it all figured out. I hope and pray that you're reading as much as you've ever read and studying as much as you've ever studied and prayed as much as you've ever prayed. Why? Because there is an investment, a faithfulness of investment in continuing to pass down our faith to the next generation. Number three, I want you to see now in verse number 3, back in our text, 2 Timothy, and then we get to a little bit of more difficult preaching here. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Number 3, if you're taking notes, faithfulness to endure hardness. Faithfulness to stand when it's hard to stand. Faithfulness to keep moving forward when Satan's pushing you backward. Faithfulness to stay encouraged when Satan has brought discouragement into your life. Remember, point number 1 was find your strength where? In the Lord, right? Point number 3 is stand in that same strength. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I think I used this little song on Wednesday night to the church crowd here at Central. Dr. Lester Roloff, many of you maybe got to hear him at some point. I know he died in about 1982. I was just a 13-year-old teenager. I got to hear him multiple times. I remember how many times we'd take busloads of teenagers there in the state of Florida, and we'd go to hear Dr. Lester Roloff, and he'd sing, "It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay." That's faithfulness, to endure hardness. When things get tough, and the ministry is going to get tough, serving Jesus is not for the faint of heart, but He gives you strength to do so. When you start doing it in your own strength, that's when you're going to fail. But I'm saying, number 3, let's be faithful to endure hardness when it comes time for us to stand. Oh, I know you know it, but I'm going to read it for you anyway because God's words are way more powerful than mine. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God." Hey, church, the whole armor of God. Hey, Christian, the whole armor of God. Hey, every piece is important there. Don't just put one on and think you're one and done, friends. Don't you go out to battle unless you are prepared for battle. And can I say, every day in the ministry is a battle. And you better stand strong in the strength of the Lord. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Why? The whole armor of God is important, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I was preaching here Thursday night, whatever night it was, to the college kids, and talking to them about Luke 22, about how Satan came to Peter, and he said, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. Hey, preacher, he's after you too. If he's going to go after a Simon Peter, what makes you think he ain't going to come after you, friend? Come on now. And you better be ready to endure some hardness. You better be ready to have some standing and some standards. Come on now, we'll get to that in just a minute. Standards is, I believe what I preach, and I'm standing here. I'm not going to change from this. Why? Because it is the holy word of God. Are you willing to endure hardness for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to endure hardness for the cause of Jesus Christ? So he's talking about the whole armor of God. Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Let me say it this way. Faithfulness is doing the right thing even if it's at the hardest time. Faithfulness is doing the right thing even if it's at the hardest time. Can I encourage us all tonight to be faithful, trusting God when times are tough? I wrote in my notes here, this is very real. These are some areas that Satan's going to attack you in that you need to stand firm in. Be faithful to stand and endure hardness in the areas like the physical area. Maybe God's allowed you to have a thorn in the flesh. Maybe God has allowed you to have some physical ailment. Just recently, I had the privilege of meeting Pastor Benton and preaching in his church and his youth conference. And a man that has many physical difficulties. I love Brother Tom Bish right over here. And obviously we all know that Brother Bish has not had a leg for many, many years. And that Brother Bish's wife's passed away. It's just like, how many more things can a man endure? But it hasn't affected his faithfulness. He's willing to endure hardness even in physical things. Now thank God if you have good health. The Lord's been very good to me and I've had good health. But many of you probably would be able to say, yeah, I've got a diagnosis, cancer's in my body, or I deal with this, or this is a situation. Can I say maybe more than just physical? And can I say this is real? Sometimes it's mental, psychological, and emotional that Satan will bring against you. And he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me, the ministry's tough, and the ministry takes a toll on us. Sometimes emotionally, you just feel overwhelmed. Come on now, am I the only one? Has anyone else ever been there? How many of you preachers, you ever felt overwhelmed with what God's asked you to do? Yeah, it's emotional. It takes its toll on us. There's real spiritual PTSD. I mean, seriously, you have something that happens to you and then it happens again in 3 years. Like, whoa, where did that come from? And that's why you cannot live in the flesh, right? That's why we cannot allow our lives to be controlled by our emotions, but rather we are faithful to stand firm, enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But these real things are going to take place. And you may be living them even now. Physical, mental, financial. You ever had any preacher here ever had a financial need? Where's the money coming? There's too much month at the end of the money, right? Come on now. Too many bills and the money's all gone. I've been 90 churches in the last 23 months. I've met so many guys, bivocational guys. They're having to try to pastor a church and they're working full time and they're flipping houses and they're plowing snow. My dear friend up in Granville, New York, and just trying to eke out a way that he can honor the calling that God's placed in his life. Those are real financial needs. Endure hardness. If that's where you are right now, then accept it and bloom where you're planted. Everybody look at me. Don't say, well, it's tough here. If I can just go to a different place. Look, do you understand it's tough there? You're taking the same emotional disorientation over there. The same lack of faith in God that you're just going to take it to another place. Why do you think it's going to be any better there? Did anybody get that? Because you're moving. Look, what you need to do is stand firm. And unless God moves you, stay where you are and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's so many areas here. I'm about to lose my time here. It is a spiritual warfare. And that's why he says, be a good soldier. Back in our text, look at it quickly. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 3 there. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So that leads us to verse number 4. And number 4 in our outline, faithful to not be entangled with the world. Let's all read verse 4 together. Ready? Here we go. Nice and loud like you believe it. Ready? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the... Faithful to not be entangled with the world. Would you notice the first two words there? No man. There are no exceptions to this. You aren't an exception to this, preacher. Well, I can stand in the pulpit, but I can live another way on Monday through Saturday. I can preach one thing in the pulpit, and I can mess around in the things of this world. No man that warreth entangleth himself. Not if you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, friend. Not if God's going to be able to bless your ministry and God is going to be able to meet your needs. Not if you're messing around with the things of this world. Hey, friends, you can't live in the world and also over here in the heavenly places. No, set your affection on things above, not on things that are of this earth. The sensual and the devilish things of this world. The word there, warreth there, it means to fight. I got to give you these couple of things here. Can I say especially to the preachers? Number one, fight to stay right. Fight to stay right. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And here we go. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's not just for the drug addict that you preach to in Sunday morning at your church. Hey, that's for some of the sins that some of the preachers in this room maybe are involving themselves in. Depart from iniquity. Fight to stay right. God can't use you unless you stay right, unless you stay clean. You know the passage there in 2 Timothy 2. You're there. He talks about verse 21. Look at it. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. What's it say the next statement? Flee also youthful lusts. Hey, can everybody look at me, please? And I'm preaching fast. And I'm going to get done in 4 minutes here. You listen to me. And as a 55-year-old preacher, and can I say to the younger generation, and I apologize for my generation and some of them that have messed up and they've thrown away their life and they've thrown away their calling and their marriage and their ministry because of some infidelity or messing around with some girl in their church. Can I say, let's flee youthful lust. Let's stay clean. Fight to stay right. Put some boundaries around yourself. Have some ethics about how you minister. Don't meet with a girl alone in a room somewhere. Well, I'm going to counsel her. No, my friend, you're not strong enough to handle that fleshly temptation. And it's hurting our ministry and it's killing our churches. Why? Because we're not fighting to stay right. We must be faithful not to be entangled with the things of this world. I put down here also, fight to stay spiritually minded. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can I also say number three, fight to stay joyful. I love Acts chapter number 20. I love this. I gotta read it to you. But none of these things move me. That's faithfulness. Neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Now look, you can stand and preach against the things that need to be preached against and the wickedness of this world, but friends, you don't have to be mean about it either. You can be kind and tender-hearted. You can understand where people are, help them to get to the next level. But my friends, don't lose your joy. Fight to stay joyful in your Christian life. And in the ministry, Paul was talking about the ministry there. But he's warring, he's fighting. Fight to stay separated and sanctified. Fight to stay balanced. Fight to stay surrendered. Fight to stay qualified to lead. Don't entangle yourself with the things of this world. Number five, and lastly, and we're done. There also must be, lastly, verse number four, the end of verse number four, there must be a faithfulness to please Christ in all things. Look what the end of verse four says, that he may please him. This man that is warring, this man that is enduring hardness, this man that is staying faithful, he's investing in others and he's finding his strength in the Lord. Then when all of those things are in place, then the Bible says that he may please him. Who? Christ. That he may please Christ. You're not trying to please me. You're not trying to please some denominational hierarchy. You're pleasing someone way more important than that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You work for him. You don't work for the head deacon. You work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, that's a higher calling, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. Faithfulness to please Christ in all things. I'm done. I love the song that's called Find Us Faithful. The chorus goes, oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. And when I've sung this song before, I almost always tear up when I get to verse number three, when it says, after all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. I'm old enough now. I've got girls that are 31 and 29 and grandbabies and that time of life. And at some point when my wife and I pass on, they're going to go through all of the things of our world. They're going to look at all of the stuff that we have accumulated. I've often thought, as my kids might go through all of my files someday, and I'm a very organized preacher, always have been. I got files on everything, just to ask my girls. They tease me about it all the time. But when I've needed to go back and pull something 12 years ago, I can do it. Thank you very much. But when they look through all those files and all those sermons, thousands and thousands and thousands of times their daddy preached, I hope that they'll be able to say, he was a faithful man. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a faithful man. I hope they would never find something that would disappoint them because of how I lived or did not live. Let's be faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful to your calling. Faithful for this generation. We need you. This generation needs you. Every church is vitally important. Let's be faithful to Him. Would you bow your head, please? Father,